wonderful. I haven't sung it for quite a while, and perhaps some of you have never sung it. Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy. We will sing it four times. The first two times we will all sing in Latin, and then the second two verses we will sing a cappella, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, to set us in a mood for the sermon. Let us sing. Harmony is beautiful. Father, as we think about so many people in the Caribbean whose lives have been so changed by Irma and also for those whose lives are being changed even right now as we worship, the people of Florida, we pray that You will have mercy upon them all. May the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. From the epistle text, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. These are thy holy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth, for thy word is eternal truth. Amen. In the old days, we didn't have what I am, an interim pastor. They didn't exist in the old days. When I left my first church after 5 years in northern Wisconsin in 1968, there was no interim pastor assigned. They didn't exist. After 7 years, when I left Vancouver, Washington, in 74, again, there was no interim pastor assigned. They didn't exist. When I left Anchorage, Alaska, in 78, there were no interim pastors. When I left Newburgh, Oregon, in 88, they found an old retired guy like me who came in on Sunday morning and did the service. Then, when I retired in 1998, Beaverton, Oregon, aha! They were assigned what?
An interim
pastor. A go-between from who was to who is to come. I am your interim pastor. You know that? And this interim period is close to kaput. With four Sundays left, I've been having fun telling people. Some of you have already heard it. One for the money. Two for the show. Three to get packed. And four to go. The end for me, and for you, the beginning. Our church has really gotten into this interim stuff. To be an interim pastor, there are training sessions in which you're taught how to do them. I'm told they talk about how to do in-between stuff, that interim pastors need to be sensitive. Things that maybe need some attention have to be dealt with so that the interim period is a time to hopefully iron out any wrinkles that might exist. Somehow, I slipped through the crack. Never got trained. So, like Sinatra, I've been doing them my way. Four of them. Gloria Day and Central and Anchorage, and now two times here. My primary job as your interim, as I see it, is what? Is helping you get ready for what's to come. If there's been some sadness in the leaving of your former pastor, and hopefully that's the case, you wouldn't want it to be otherwise, an interim pastor provides some time for getting over that. If there's some mending that needs to be done, and sometimes there is, whether it's a pastoral thing or a laity thing, the words conflict and healing are oftentimes heard during in-between times. And interim periods provide opportunity to resolve such. Sometimes interim pastors, knowing their tenure will be short-lived and they have nothing to lose, desire to try something wild that's been brewing, thinking outside the box, and turning some interim periods into risk-taking adventures, departing from the ordinary, which can be fun for both the pastor and the congregation. All of which point to one thing: getting ready for the new, no, not pastor, the new skipper. With the crew already on board, right? Signed up and ready to go. Readying self itself as you anticipate the leadership of your new skipper. Way to go, Karen. and the unknown, venturing into new water. Thus, let me repeat myself, my primary job is helping you get ready for what's ahead. I don't know Eric Olson. I don't know him. I don't know Carol Olson. I don't know her. And none of you do either. We've only had a sampling, a 3-day taste of who they are. And none of you know what's ahead for you. And neither do they. At this point, I want to share with you something we've talked about at church council meetings, but haven't talked to you about it, the congregation at large. Some of you may know this, some of you don't. During Pastor Mike's last year and a half here, the church council had to dip into reserve funds to the tune of $45,000 to supplement monthly offerings to pay monthly bills. When I became temporary skipper, that $45,000 had been fully spent. And at my first council meeting, it was announced that all bills were paid with the exception of one that had to be held over to the next month, one $600 bill. But the $45,000 was gone. The reserve was gone. You have been very generous financially with me. For us, it's been an unexpected retirement windfall income that will be used and spent in the months and years ahead as we remember your generosity to us, for which Mary Ann and I want to thank you. But it's worked both ways. Financially, we have been very good for you. Whether you know it or not, you're gonna know it now. The council has humorously referred to me as the cheap pastor. I hope humorously, which I have suggested that I'd rather be called the good deal. My salary has been a bit less than Mike's, but the big savings has been in my medical insurance coverage, which has been about one-fifth of what Mike's was. As a result of these reductions in pastoral costs, at the end of August, our general fund bank account balance stands at $37,000+. Which, by the time I leave, will probably be about $40,000. What I'm doing today, which is supposed to be my fourth to last sermon, doesn't sound much like one, and with only three more to go after this one, I may be throwing this one under the truck. Yet, what I'm trying to do today is to help you get ready for what's ahead. When I leave, let's call it your overhead will increase, obviously. But you'll have this pool of about $40,000 stacked up at the bank to back up any monthly shortcomings that might befall. If your November and December and January offerings do not meet your monthly expenses, and you have to dip into that $40,000 stacked up in the bank, there's one name for it, and to me it's like the government runs. It's called deficit spending. Therefore, I'm asking you to please not let that happen. Petersburg Lutheran Church is a very unusual congregation. You give a lot of money away to help people not as fortunate as you. Your spirit and record of looking beyond yourselves is beyond reproach. You are an unusual, out of the ordinary congregation. But if what happened before, deficit spending, were to occur again, some might suggest that we could look into our benevolence programs and do a little adjustment there so that our income would cover our monthly expenditures and no deficit spending would have to occur. But that's not who we are. But that's not who we are. Our hearts are not turned inward, but outward. The Salvation Army, Tanzania, Good Beginnings, World Hunger. You're the number one congregation in the whole state of Alaska. Lutheran World Relief. Lutheran Disaster Fund, which we're taking a special offering for today. Petersburg Mental Health. Wildwood Women's Prison. The Seward Peninsula. The Eskimo Ministry. Prisoners for Christ Ministry in Woodinville, Washington. The Alaska Synod of the ELCA. And a whole bunch more. See where I'm going? In a few months, you will see a trend as to whether our offerings are covering our expenditures. Or if we're slipping behind, necessitating the need to begin deficit spending by reaching into that reserve, interim surplus money built up, which in my opinion, and what I'm going to say now, is controversial. But I get to leave in 4 Sundays. I think that $40,000 ought to be used to pay back that $45,000 that we borrowed from ourselves and face the music that we need to monthly support our monthly expenditures. If we were to find ourselves in such a situation where income is not meeting expenditures, as your interim pastor, it is my heartfelt hope that for those of us who are able, and maybe you don't realize this or not, but I am a member of this church and I will retain my membership here, that we who are able will bump up our giving. If our church council says to us, we need to do so. No big stewardship program, just the simple words to all of us. We need to consider giving a bit more for those of us who are able. As your interim pastor, my primary job, as I see, is helping you, helping us get ready for what's ahead, and helping you to clearly financially see what may be ahead, so that collectively we can set our house in order. Okay? It is such a privilege to have been your in-between skipper 2 times. You have demonstrated to Marianne and me that you are keepers of the law. As the Apostle Paul says in our text for today, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to your neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. You have shown your love for each other. You have shown your love for others. And certainly, you have shown your love to Marianne and me. Today, we are receiving 2 offerings, our normal one and a special one. I cannot imagine the devastation of virtually losing everything but your life. The clothes on your back is about all you have. And maybe a few things in a bag. I can't imagine. A house blown to smithereens. A house flooded beyond repair. A house reduced to ashes with only a stone fireplace as a remembrance standing by itself amidst the ashes. I can't imagine. Money is one way we can help. Money won't restore family albums. Money won't bring back family heirlooms. Money won't return precious memories. But it will buy sheetrock. It will buy a mattress or a refrigerator that has been hauled out and sits on the street for the garbage people to pick up. And it will provide counselors through the Lutheran Disaster Fund to help the brokenness, the helplessness, the hopelessness that thousands and thousands and thousands of our brothers and sisters are feeling. This is who we are. This is why this church was founded by Norwegian immigrants to fulfill God's law as defined by Jesus, to love God with all of our hearts and soul and mind and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. We are descendants of those Norwegian immigrants, the names of which we see on the windows of our church. Some of you are even of the same blood as those immigrants, while others of us have come under their influence and diligently strive to uphold the foundations upon which this church was built, to love our Creator with our whole being and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And in so doing, fulfilling the law. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to understand that we are not saved by what we do. Even though you have called us to do a lot of stuff, but we are saved by your grace, which causes us to respond in love to our brothers and sisters in need. This we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Let us stand and let us sing, Jesu, Jesus, fill us with your love.
Their feet, Master who pours out himself for them. Jesus, fill us with your love, show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you. Neighbors are wealthy and poor, varied in color and race. Neighbors are nearby and far away. Jesu, fill us with your love, show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you. These are the ones we will serve, these are the ones we will love. All these are neighbors to us and you. How to serve the neighbors we have from you. Kneel at the feet of our friends, silently washing their feet. This is the way we will live with you. Jesus, show us how to serve